This recording was made at the third Chinwag Live event, PPC Earthquake, on March 27, 2007, in London. Featuring on the panel, Nigel Leggett, Marketing Manager at Microsoft Ad Center, Edward Teddy Cowell, Technical Director at Neutralize, John Myers, Search Director at Latitude, and Samantha Pearlson, Search Manager at Blue Barracuda. The event was produced and chaired by Mike Butcher of mbytes.com, with podcast services provided by Perfect Path Consulting. And now, a brief message from our event sponsor.
With 11 offices across three continents, Big Mouth Media offers paid search marketing in more than 20 languages. Big Mouth Media. The full search agency.
Great, thank you. Let's get some questions now from all you guys. There's a chap at the back there. When you ask a question, if you could say who you are and where you're from, so we all know what axe you're particularly grinding this evening, that would be great. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I'm Nick Jones, disgruntled former Yahoo employee. No, that's not true. sorry, Nick Jones, I Spy Search Marketing. Just for the panel in terms of what's going to drive growth and search share, none of you mentioned users because this is a user-centric industry. And ultimately, Yahoo and Microsoft can build the most all singing, all dancing, fabulous, trackable, high-converting platforms of all time. But if there's no traffic, it creates a bit of a problem for marketers wanting to buy into that. So the question is for everybody over there, and I think one of Microsoft and certainly Yahoo's problems is that when they launch something in the search space, it's very me too. It's kind of following on, or feels like it's following on from what Google are doing. So what do you think can happen within the search space that can genuinely grow the audience of the Yahoos and the MSN? What's next that's going to allow them to win traffic from Google? Because I think we've seen that spending money on advertising search to people doesn't work. Microsoft search share dropped globally on the back of a couple of $100 million search spend, advertising spend, and the same happened to Yahoo. So just interested to see, look to the future, what are these guys going to do that's going to disrupt Google in the same way that Google did to AltaVista?
That's a great upbeat question there. Samantha, do you have a view? Let's go across the panel and see if everyone has got a quick view.
Well, I think mobile search is definitely one of the next big things that can come, you know, out of search as a whole. And I think the Google tool at the moment, there can be a lot of competition. I had a discussion with somebody who works in mobile not so long ago, and she was saying that there's a couple of really big names of new search providers, and they're not Google. She wouldn't divulge which ones they were, but it's interesting to see that there's going to be new companies in the space that actually are going to be competing with Google in the mobile space.
Yes, that's a good point, actually. There's a lot of very big predictions being made about the mobile web at the moment. John, what's your view?
On mobile in general, or... That's a good one, isn't it, really?
To the gentleman's question of whether or not big search giants can actually do anything.
I think personally, in 2007, we're looking at an industry that's changing its marketplace a bit, and we're finding a lot more integration of different media products away from just purely text-based search advertising. You know, we're looking at mobile, and I'll caveat it and say, you know, everybody talks about mobile having 2 billion handsets in the world at the moment and 1 billion internet users. I think, you know, we've got it available here in the UK, and Google's had a platform around for about 6 months now. But we're seeing now with Microsoft bringing its mobile platform to the game. Yahoo's kind of just been talking a bit today about launching their OneSearch mobile product. I think you've got to treat it with some level of caveat at the minute that there's not a massive amount of traffic available from it. You know, we've done some trialing on Google. There's traffic there, there's impressions there, but it's not an all-conquering wave of technology that's, you know, mobile's going to solve everything. I think you've got to look to the bigger picture of things like the local search, geo-targeting, things like social search. You know, Yahoo Answers now has millions and millions of users here in the UK, and we're seeing more and more often now that Yahoo Answers is now integrated to the main search results. So you can go on there and do a search for something like Hotel London, and actually Yahoo will now present you with Yahoo Answers results that are actually very, very good critique results on good hotels in London. So you have to look at the bigger picture, and I think that's where... You know, you look at Microsoft, and I'm sure Nigel will talk about it in a bit, and you look at Yahoo, they've got a big, over the years, they've built up a lot of users, you know, to the extent of, I think it's something like 22 million people use something like Yahoo Mail, and only 5 million use Google Mail. So there's a lot of scope for there where they've got to gain that back in the search space.
Nigel, can you give us a little preview of what's happening in the skunk works behind the scenes at MSN? I mean, we know about AdCenter. Come on, give us some dirt. Give us some gossip.
Well, I won't give any gossip. You're disappointed here. But what I will do is, I think that, and Nick the questioner, I think it's a great question because there's a huge tendency for the big players to kind of focus on the advertising piece and to focus on the distribution piece. But ultimately, the only way that Microsoft and for that matter Yahoo are going to win in search is to make the search product more attractive to consumers. And I think that and this is going to sound slightly cliche, but we're kind of still in its infancy. We're talking effectively about text-based searches. And the area that that we're looking at is really around what one can do with the search result piece, which takes it beyond just a text-based search. So image search, video search, maps plus search. There's a whole range of things that bring the search experience much more to life for both consumers and advertisers. But I think the key thing is really how can we make the search experience much more personalised? So we hear customers saying to us things like, how come I'm searching for the same things each time and my results or my searches are the same each time I do it, but I always end up doing a new search. What can you do about that? Or worse still, the more terms I give you or the longer my question string, the less relevant my results. And I think that it's down to Microsoft and Yahoo to really work on being able to deliver that kind of personalized search result piece, which will encourage people to come back. And I guess the other things are really around, making search available all day on all devices, I guess. And we touched on the mobile piece there, and making search available across various different Microsoft properties is something that we're very keen to drive home. So, making it available across not just the live search network, but looking at areas like Xbox and mobile, etc. So the kind of experiences there throughout the day or throughout the kind of whatever you're doing, there's a search facility there. So I think it's a kind of combination of improving the customer experience by making it much more personalised, much more relevant, getting rewarding customers for making sensible query strings rather than just putting Hotel London, actually getting them to make that string much more relevant and giving a relevant result.
Let's have some more questions. But in the meantime, Teddy, I know that you've actually been clinically diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder about search. Come on, what are some of this? Social search was mentioned. What are some of the interesting things coming up?
Well, I think what was coming back to you was that when Panama comes out, there are three really good search ad platforms on the marketplace, and I'd agree with Nick that the platforms are all pretty good. They're pretty much for muchness in terms of what they're going to deliver and the kind of like audience they'll give you access to and the kind of tools from an agency marketeer point of view. So the discussion really does come back to, from a search engine perspective, Microsoft and Yahoo, how are you going to win overall search market share? Now, there is a really interesting Comscore stat. So if you look at the basic stats, I think it's sort of 70%... Google, 8% Yahoo, and then it's sort of a 5% split between us and MSN in the UK. There was a recent way that Comscore reworked its metrics where they looked at user visits as opposed to sort of market share and search stuff. And actually, it's a much more level playing field between like the Microsoft properties and the Yahoo properties and the Google properties. And it's somewhere between sort of 20 to sort of 24 million like unique users a month that each of these different properties have. And they're all in different services. I think the key thing for both Microsoft and Yahoo is going to be how they can integrate search into those services to A, get the volume of traffic up for us as marketeers, and also how for the content network stuff, how they can do really good deals with other sites, because Google's made some cracking deals over the last few years, the AOL stuff, MySpace, and they're prepared to, put money on the line to win the clients, to win those sites, to win the distribution, which keeps the volume up. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, obviously, what you and what Yahoo do to try to do the same kind of thing. So also stretch the reach beyond your own networks into reaching other audiences.
Right. Any more questions, anybody? Let's get some mics. There's one there, one there. One at the front here.
Thank you. I'm Jim Stern with eMetrics Summit. And I was intrigued, John, by a comment that you made that the traffic that you're getting from MSN is higher quality. So the question is, based on what measurement? And Nigel, to what do you attribute the rise in quality compared to your competitors?
Yeah, fine, not a problem, Jim. I mean, we tend to, everything that we run as a business campaign-wise from a search point of view works to an ROI metric. I think you'd be wrong to run it in any other way in some respects. So we kind of monitor all levels of conversion. So we look at, obviously, the click. If you took it in a finance-type world, you would take it from a click-to-application or a click-to-quote metric, and then an ongoing position of quote-to-deal. We kind of find that in the click-to-quote type metric side of things, that MSN in general has a very, very good click-to-quote, and in some respects better than Google's click-to-quote. We've not hidden that fact. We've talked to MSN, and we've actually quoted MSN on that to say that. And we have seen that across a whole myriad of different campaigns. You know, there was a time when MSN split away from Yahoo, and everybody said that they weren't particularly strong in finance, and they were great in travel, and so on and so on. And from a point of view of query share, a number of searches across their network. But we've kind of found in general that, and I won't say in all cases it's better than the rest of them, but certainly if you took it in a finance type scenario, there's good conversion there.
In terms of the reasons why we think that's the case, I think there's sort of two things. I think the first one is really that, and this is a double-edged sword for us in many respects, in that at the moment the traffic that is going into our clients is pure MSN traffic, so it hasn't been diluted, if you like, by some of the dodgy syndication deals out there. But I think there's a more serious point here, and that is that we've done a lot of work to understand why, and looking at what a customer does when they're using the MSN Live Search, and what we're finding is that customers are spending far less time on the actual search results pages. So they're hitting the results pages, spending far less time than our competitors, and then they're moving into the customer's website and spending much more time on the customer's website, and hopefully that's one of the reasons why we're seeing that higher conversion rate. But when you look at where they're coming from within the site, it's because they're coming from editorial content, they're coming from comparison content, they're reading about holidays and then searching for those holidays. And I'd be interested, John, whether there's any correlation, that you've seen any correlation between the editorial piece within the MSN site itself and the key categories that convert. Because where we're very strong editorially is around our finance. MSN Money's a great product. Our travel product's a good product. Our entertainment product's a good product. And whether that's driving people are using those editorial services to do the kind of research piece. So when they come to use live search, they've already that much further down the buying route, and they're then looking for specific models, specific holidays.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I've seen that research piece, and it kind of does back up a lot of good stats. I mean, is that on general release now, so everybody can look at that, or...?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got that on our advertising site if you want to check that out. It's basically we're trying to build up this metric of customer engagement and seeing whether that actually holds any water. So can we actually measure customer engagement as a sort of factor in terms of where you're going to get your click traffic from? And it looks like it holds up. It looks like we have less time on the search results, more time on our clients' landing pages.
There's another question. There was a lady just there. And in the meantime, I'd be interested in hearing from anybody in the room about what they think of Google's service at the moment. Any criticisms? Go for it. You don't have to name yourself. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, hi there. It's Louise Greaves from Midnight Communications. We mentioned mobile search earlier, and it's tied in with Google's pay-per-action, which is beta testing just now. I'm interested to see what people think about whether that will work with mobile search. I would say mobile search is very much for people maybe comparing prices as they're out and about or trying to find locations. Do you think pay-per-action is maybe a bit of a short-sighted approach when it comes to mobile search?
What's your Teddy?
Yes.
Do you want to expand?
Yes. In terms of mobile search in general, I'm pretty sanguine about the volumes that you're going to see from it. Like mobile search, as you've just done research.
Basically, you're saying it's shit.
I'm saying that it's not quite there yet. I'd still give it a few more years before it's really going to basically hit the kind of volumes which are going to be useful from an advertiser perspective. Like, it's, so one of the, it's flavor of the month right now. It's this year's big theme thing is mobile search. Like, whether or not it's actually any useful to us as advertisers is still completely unproven. So, and the interesting thing is if you have a look at the mobile web itself in general, like, it's just, like, the mobile web is still really, really kind of embryonic. I'd say it's back in terms of, like, 1996 as, like, the direct equivalent of where we are in terms of, like, the actual real internet as we know it now. So, you know, for us as a business, we're still giving it, we think sort of, you know, 2010 onwards, the mobile web will start to evolve into something that's really useful and there'll be a good volume of content. You'll be able to do interesting things on it. Obviously, we've seen interesting deals, I think, between Yahoo and Vodafone. Is that the one? Is that recently?
Yeah, there's an orange one out there as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think those kind of exclusivity deals between search engines and network providers are also, like, they're popular at the moment, but I don't think they're necessarily the future of the mobile web, because obviously if people are used to using the internet, you want to be, you're more selective over who you want to use to provide the services. So I don't necessarily think that pay-per-action is going to work. I think that what will happen is as the mobile web starts to evolve a bit more and it begins to take off, like, business models that work really well online. Maybe the pay-per-call stuff will come through really naturally on the mobile web. So you're searching for something, there's a taxi there, you click on the number and it'll dial straight through. So there'll be other kind of models will start to become prevalent.
Yeah, I'd like to agree that mobile search is still so new, and pay-per-action on Google is also really, really new. So it's unlikely that they're going to put the two really new pieces together to work off each other. I think pay-per-action works especially for a smaller business. A business is, well, I say smaller, it could be someone that's more sort of applications driven and they know what value that application is to them. And I, at the moment, I don't see the correlation between that sort of search on mobile as opposed to the way people are going to be looking more for quotes on the web, and on mobile search is more on the move. So you're looking for locations, you're looking to compare, as you said. So I don't think those two are going to combine anytime soon.
John, please don't tell me you're looking forward to the launch of the Apple iPhone for the mobile web.
The honest opinion, or?
Go on then.
No, I mean, just picking up on the pay-per-action quickly as well. I mean, that's literally just launched in the US. It's only a small, limited US test for US companies that stands at the minute with Google, and they're going to, over the next few weeks, release a few more customers to that. For me, it's an interesting idea. You could see it as a threat, because I think it takes some level of complexity out of the marketplace for the agencies that run these companies' business. You know, if you could just go to Google and say, well, I'd just like to buy per action. It takes all level of actual adding value to a campaign out of the equation. So I do see that as some level of threat. On the Apple iPhone, I mean, it looks nice. Well, I'll give it its dues. Look, I'd like one. But I think when you actually read into it a little bit more, you know, and it's quite an expensive handset as handsets go. It's going to come over here towards the end of the year. Generally, most of the mechanisms that sit on that iPhone to give it its technology ability, I believe, are actually kind of network driven. So the network doesn't support it. It kind of comes across as a bit of a glorified calculator. And quite an expensive one at that, but it's nice. I mean, I'll give it its use.
But okay, let's being serious for just for a second here. We're talking about the mobile web and pay-per-click. That's a very good question about pay-per-click. I mean, is there maybe more of a scenario sort of branding on the mobile? But also let's tease this out. I mean, search and branding. Teddy, you and I were talking just before we started about search and branding and that interplay. You know, is that coming forward more as a sort of an issue for clients, that kind of thing?
I think more campaigns are becoming brand led as more bigger advertisers moving to search and they understand what they want from search. But I definitely think from a pay-per-click perspective, what we're seeing more on larger campaigns is the campaigns being split with separate budgets for separate objectives within the campaign. So whereas traditionally someone's given you a budget and just said, "Ah, this is a CPA led campaign. Here are my targets. Go for it." And then probably what they've done is come down and phoned up a couple of weeks later and said, oh, by the way, I want to be number one for that key phrase, which has totally messed up all the targets and all the success metrics that you'd already outlined for the campaign. So
Clients.
Oh. But I think what's happening in terms of the way sort of pay-per-click management evolves, that's definitely like a trend now. So say, okay, we have a budget for brand-led terms. So maybe these are like navigational, these are the company name and other things. We have a budget for like our generic sort of industry key phrases. In terms of what works from a branding perspective, what's really interesting, we're at an event in Ireland last week, and a lot of feedback that was coming out of some of the presentations was in terms of what actually worked best for branding was actually not the paid stuff, but the organic listings. And there was a general perception from businesses that they were like the much more important, basically, if you had a branded campaign, because it was the perceived kind of vote, the credits you got from Google, basically, by being high in the ranking. So I think...
Yeah, trying to back that up. I mean, it was, as Teddy says, it came across a lot last week in Ireland, this sort of thing. It's quite a hot topic at the moment. I think it's safe to say, you know, paid search has been around for a few years now, and I think everybody would pretty comfortably say it's a good ROI metric. You know, you can gain massive return on investment from it. It's more now, and you see a lot of the big companies, the FMCGs, have kind of warmed up to it now a bit and can see the value in actually brand-led campaigns and the ability to drive brand campaigns. And I mean, there's been some great examples in the media over the, you know, the last few years where, you know, see the things like the Super Bowl in the States when, you know, you've got the likes of Pepsi and Coke sponsoring the halftime advertising, and they were giving it, they weren't actually saying Pepsi or Coke, they're on about sort of brown and fizzy and all this sort of thing. It was a strap line. You actually go onto Google where they were actually running these campaigns and you look at the spikes of the traffic that occurred when this was on. They weren't actually even buying the brand term across Google. So, you know, for me, they must have missed out a lot of traffic. And if I'd been a competitor, I'd have been on there buying that particular terminology.
The future of search is actually TV.
Well, no, I'm never going to say it's TV, without a doubt. I wouldn't be sat here today. And I think we're gaining year on year on TV. So, you know, it's great to see the growth in search, and hopefully the IAB figures tomorrow will back that up.
Let's have some more questions, everybody. Who wants to whinge, maybe, or something about this? Go ahead, sir. Could you say who you are and where you're from, as if I didn't know?
Hello. Oh, crikey, that's loud. Sorry. Sam from Chinwag. I had a couple of questions, actually. I wondered if the panel wouldn't mind doing a bit of navel-gazing and pontificate on the future of the pay-per-click world. In particular, it strikes me. In fact, can I take a quick straw poll? Is that all right?
Go ahead.
Can anybody who's an agency who buys pay-per-click advertising stick their hand up? There's more than you of that in this room. I've seen the delegate list, don't forget.
Come on. Show your hand.
And how many of you buy space on networks that aren't run by Microsoft, Google, or Yahoo?
Two.
So that's two. Okay. So should everybody else in the ad network game basically pack up and go home? Unless they have an enormous Redmond-sized war chest. That's part one of the question, and where do you think this is going in the longer term? Is it just going to play out with the big three taking chunks out of each other, a la Pepsi and Coke? And the second part of the question is, what does this mean for niche content publishers? I was sitting in a session at South by Southwest where John Battelle was talking about federated media, and one of the reasons he gave for putting that company together was that niche publishers with a quality audience can't make any decent money out of AdWords or Yahoo or MSN when they start rolling out. And the only way they could actually make a buck was to hire their own sales team and sell their media directly, all band together in a network as they had of specialist sites. So what does that mean? What does it mean for smaller niche publishers, whether they're trade or consumer?
So the first part of the question was, is it basically all just going to be carved up by the big networks, right? What do you think, Nigel?
I think probably, basically it's not just networks, they're the search engines, and basically this has come out of their search technology and the fact they're really dominant in search itself as a broader kind of industry. And quoting Larry Page, basically, they're only 5% there of what they want to do in terms of search. Yeah. There's a massive amount of information out there. The search engines are going to be really, really critical. So obviously the pay-per-click advertising systems that we have now have come out of the fact that people are using search engines to find information. In terms of the content networks and how they work for niche publishers, I mean, it is interesting because obviously the content networks rely on the quality of the clicks and the contextual matching, etc. And what they don't really value is your audience. Appropriate, like what is the audience actually worth to advertisers? So I can see there's definitely kind of there's a mismatch there basically in the way they can target and the way that you can make money out of clicks, because you could have a very high value audience, but not necessarily a great volume. So obviously in terms of clicks you're generating, then that's not very successful. Interestingly, is it Zadowney from Yahoo? On his own blog site, he's got a really awkward name to say. On his own blog, ran a test. And he's a like he's one of the main men at Yahoo, ran a test to see whether or not, like, of Yahoo's own system, Google's AdSense ads, like, which ones actually work best, and actually none of them work particularly well. And what he found he made more money out of was basically text-link ads, like fixed cost, fixed placement tenancies, like on pre-agreed terms, where we used to negotiate, like, for space. And then he actually made loads of money out of that. And it was, like, it was quite amazing because he was just doing it as kind of a test to see what would happen. And that turned out to be very successful for him as a publisher. So obviously Google's got their own issues with this in terms of, like, implications for link-based stuff, et cetera, and on SEO. But from a publisher perspective, negotiating those kind of deals gave him more accountability. They were easier to manage and other things. So I think there are various opportunities. And
That's a very good point. I mean, Nigel, I mean, is there a sort of a long-tail publisher play here where you can actually help long-tail publishers do better and therefore grab more of the market?
I certainly think it's an opportunity to work with niche publishers and publishers that can deliver a particular audience in terms of being able to increase the revenue they get from contextual content ads. And, you know, one of the things that we're looking at at Microsoft is, you know, giving the publisher the opportunity to say, I actually want the ads appearing on my page to be relevant to my content or relevant to my audience, and almost have a radio button that moves that along the scale. So in effect, we can say to advertisers, you know, you can be buying on a quality audience and actually distribute that based on the audience quality rather than necessarily the content of the site. And I think that gives publishers the opportunity to say, well, look, I know I've got a small audience, but I know it's a very high quality, and I know that it's particularly engaged in its particular subject. And that the publisher can then say, okay, I'm going to turn up my audience quality button. I don't mind the fact that I'm showing Prada ads on my Rolls-Royce homepage, whatever the analogy is, but I know that I'm getting that quality audience coming through. So I think that there's an opportunity to work with publishers and make that much more rewarding for them.
Are there any publishers in the house, actually? Any? No, not really. Not that kind of audience. Oh, one over there. Or is that a question? No.
It's a question, actually.
One or the other.
Alistair Cross from Ad Precision. We actually build white label pay-per-click engines for publishers to use for their own ad sales, and we've noticed a very big, firstly, increase in their revenues when they use our system, which allows them to charge their own rates, not using a third-party big search engine like the Google and Yahoos of this world. So we think that there is definitely a future for publishers, basically, to run their own search engine advertising on their sites.
And do you want to have a question at all as well?
Well, it sounds a lot like...
Just asking.
I think Sam asked the question already. Well, partly to do with MSN, actually. What other distribution points do you think you'd be able to launch your search product out through?
Well, I mean, I think the content piece is still in its infancy at MSN. I would stress this, that we are looking at a US beta, which has been running probably for about 4 months now. And we've got this balance to make between diluting the quality of our audience and increasing our distribution. It is a fine balance to make. And I think that if I was to look in the crystal ball, I think the type of deals that we'd want to do are not necessarily one or two big deals, but we'd want to do many smaller quality deals where we can have some sort of control over the quality of the traffic that comes through our system. And as I said, work with the publisher to find ways in which the publisher can generate more revenue from the geodemographic and targeting tools that we have within AdCenter.
Right. Let's the question over there in the back.
Hi. Jonathan Allen from Incisive Media. What strikes me is that Google have a very low bar to join into their content network, and Yahoo and MSN both have, you have to have a lot of traffic before you can get them on as a partner, and actually most publishers have a useless search engine, and we're tied up with Google on AdSense, but we're not necessarily tied up on our search engine front. And what I find slightly ridiculous as a publisher is that the people that are approaching me are people like Meva, who who can offer me a search facility with pay-per-click ads so people can search just in my site and have ads served to them. And I find it strange that Yahoo only offers a co-branded version of their search, and I'm surprised that Ad Center doesn't just come in there and take it, because I've got lots of B2B sites with very high quality users, and most agencies are struggling to make any sort of real conversions out of Google through paid search anyway. So that seems like an easy area for MSN to just get in there and take it over.
Sure. I mean, I think it's a great point. And, you know, this is an area of our business which is really in its infancy. And, you know, we're starting with the content piece, where that takes us in terms of distribution, moving our technology into other publishers' sites. You know, I'm not privy to that at this moment, but yeah, I mean, it sounds like a great opportunity to work with particularly in sort of niche areas around business to business, for example, that we should be talking to you guys.
Yeah, but do you not feel that you're actually sort of Google co-op, for instance, is becoming more and more attractive for me as a niche publisher than MSN search? And actually, you don't need to do content ads to feed into my site search. You can actually use the same search ads, because they are being driven directly by a request. Whereas I know that with Yahoo, for instance, you can have search ads on your site that are content, but you get a lower CPC because it's not directly searched. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you just come in and say, well, actually, we'll just link it into whatever your site search is, we can deliver a legitimate PPC ad.
So, yep. Well, Nigel, yep. Are you going to take that on board?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. I
think it's available for consultancy, actually.
Great idea. Thank you.
You guys should talk later. I just want to give everybody an opportunity to have any more questions, if there's any burning issues. Let's winding up a little bit and just start talk about maybe the predictions for the next 12 months. Let's start with you, Nigel, since you're on the end. I mean, the next 12 months, what can we expect from Ad Center and what you're doing?
Okay, well, I think the next 12 months, I mean, we've kind of touched on it along the way here, is really looking at how we get more traffic into our Ad Center for our advertisers. And I think we've got sort of two challenges here. The first one is, you know, let's not forget, we've got a huge audience in the Hotmail, Messenger, MSN products who are just not using our search tool at the moment. So we're working pretty hard to make sure that the search toolbars are prominent on those properties, and making sure that people who are using the site are using us as their preferred search. And then the second piece is really what we've touched on is about building our distribution piece and looking to get the beta away in the US. At the moment, as I said, the beta is around Microsoft properties only, but clearly the next stage for that will be looking to take that content piece outside of our properties. So we've kind of got two things that we're working on. We're looking particularly around this sort of small business, SMB area, at growing our share of that particular marketplace, and at the same time growing the number of queries that we can drive to those advertisers. So, I mean, I'm not going to turn around and give you some sort of flash of inspiration, but I think really it's a case of knuckling down and consolidating the position that we're in today. Just to the question before last, I think, around, you know, is it going to be the big three slugging it out? I think there's a danger that this is seen as a winner-takes-all market, and I don't think that certainly that's not Microsoft's view, and you would say that, wouldn't you? But I don't think it's necessarily our view that it's an immediate winner-takes-all market, and we're looking at, you know, slowly, sort of inch by inch, building up our query share, giving a quality service to our advertisers and retaining those advertisers and building up that whole distribution piece. So you're not going to see any fireworks coming from Ad Center, but you're going to see a consolidation of where we're at the minute.
Okay. Teddy, what do you see in the next 12 months?
I think we're going to see finally getting somewhere with geo-targeting and sort of localization of targeting ads. It's always been part of Google, but it's never been like that brilliant. If you're in the UK, so anyone that's tried to do geo-targeting has probably found the best way to do it is expand out their key phrase list. Panama includes sort of geo-targeting options, so that's going to be really, really interesting. I think that's going to up the game a little bit in terms of geo-targeting stuff. I think interesting you're talking about the publisher stuff there. I think you're going to see other kind of media formats start to come up based around other mechanisms. I don't know if you've seen like Adbrite as well. And I think John Battelle uses Adbrite on his site, San Francisco based, great company. Again, that will allow like publishers to manage ads on their sites and set the pricing, either CPC or fixed costs. It's a really good system. So Adbrite's quite interesting.
Would you actually work with, this is a good point, would you work with publishers yourselves at Neutralize?
Not really, we're not on the publisher side so much, we're on the agency side.
Fair enough.
But in terms of like marketing campaigns, we would use services like Adbrite to find sites that we wanted to be listed on if that was the only way that we could get in front of certain target audiences. So it's worth keeping an eye on like up and coming services that might undercut some of the existing search content networks.
So Adify is there? Adify, Adbrite?
Adbrite. There's a few of them starting to come through. They're not really established in the UK yet, although obviously a precision we're talking about one that sounded similar kind of thing just there. But Adbrite's very simple. You can just sign up yourself. So that's quite good. I think those are the kind of things I'd keep an eye on.
John?
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to echo that in some respects. I think the next 12 months is all about consolidation, and we're seeing a move in this marketplace, and we've talked about the big three, but I think the big three are going to become more sort of user-driven or people-driven in the next 12 months. We're going to see, you know, there's a lot of product coming out in the social marketplace, your mobile, your video networks. These are all mechanisms that are driven by the people effectively that use these networks. You know, we've seen some great examples now on the likes of YouTube of, you know, people actually putting advertising up there and running businesses and gaining a lot of backing where, you know, 3 to 5 million people are looking at these one-minute video clips that's advertising products that they're putting up on there. So I think we're going to see a lot of consolidation of different forms of search targeting, as well as backing up what Teddy said about the local side. I think now we've finally established in the UK the ability to actually geo-target or locally target our campaigns, even if you're running campaigns for a national business. And we're going to see that not just in this country, across Europe and moving across from there. And I think what we can see is with Panama, there's brilliant functionality on the local side or the targeting side. Google's really managed to actually finally crack sort of the IP recognition stuff and offer a very, very good monetized local facility. But then I think it's how you then bolt the things like the social aspects and the video to that to give a very, very rounded search approach with targeting away from just text, but moving into things like imagery and video across the content networks that we have been talking about, really.
Samantha, how are you going to be advising your clients over the next year?
Well, local ads definitely a really big one. I think that the users becoming more familiar with using things like Google Maps, I think it would also help having the Maps option available on the Google homepage, which it isn't currently. I think, you know, it's difficult not to repeat everything that's been said, but social and user-generated content is also going to be quite big in search, with people able to define exactly what it is they want to be looking for and defining their own archived content so that people can search for it again. I think user-generated content, mobile, maybe not as much, and definitely local ads are going to be really big in the next 12 months.
Great, thank you very much. Well, without further ado, I'd like to thank our panel for coming. And thank you for MSN for turning up, and Yahoo to Yahoo and Google for not coming, despite the fact that we asked you lots and lots. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming to Chinwag Live. There are lots more program events coming up, and enjoy yourselves. Thank you.
This podcast was recorded in front of a live audience. To find out about future Chinwag Live events, why not subscribe to our free newsletter at live.chinwag.com.